very great pleasure to be with you all this evening in this very beautiful park or garden. We are approaching the end of the millennium. Throughout the world, people are discussing this particular subject. As devotees of the Lord, as the year 2000 approaches, or for that matter, as every new year, new month, new week, new day, new hour, new minute, new second, we should be examining and re-examining how we are progressing as individuals and as a society toward real advancement in life. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the basic propensities of the lower species is that of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And human life is especially meant for the purpose of self-realization. Real advancement of civilization is to be determined by how we are making progress toward detaching ourselves from the illusions of this world and attaching ourselves to the absolute truth. Unfortunately, we are conditioned in this age of Kali to think that advancement of civilization is progress toward a better technology for physical security and sense enjoyment. We have in the city of Bombay, as well as cities throughout the whole world, such immense technology and apparent improvements in people's lives. But Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, he explains how it is all just a big, empty show. No substance. He gave the example of two goats are fighting with each other. These two goats, each one of them is trying to present himself as a great hero, very, very big, big goat. And they are fighting and pretending to be such Herculean warriors, making very, what do they call it, macho type noises. All the she-goats around are very much impressed. So amongst the goats, there's a great show of an exhibition of strength, prowess, manliness. But if a man comes and says, "Hut!" immediately both of the goats will run away. Just a show. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the rainy season, big clouds form in the sky, lightning, thunder, but no rain, no substance. Prabhupada explained, husband and wives, they fight. They said, I'll leave you, I'll kill you, I'll do this, I'll do that. But then the next day they forget all about it. Actually, with this civilization, where there's computers, airplanes, motor cars, big skyscrapers, it's a big show. But what is the substance of the civilization? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The same qualities that animals and animalistic humans have been living by in the 18th century, the 17th century, the 16th century, the 15th century. The animal species, they perform their basic activities the same way, generation after generation, millennium after millennium. But human being does the same thing, but with a whole different social presentation. Srila Prabhupada explained, the dogs are having sex in the street. And we have so many nice discotheques, nightclubs, computerized dating facilities to find a partner. And then we go to nice cinema houses, air conditioned. We go to very expensive restaurants. What do we eat in the restaurant? The tiger just tears apart some flesh with his teeth and drinks the blood. May we just take that same meat and we cook it, and we put spices in it, and we eat it, and we think we're civilized. What is the difference? And then we have beautiful apartments, beautiful beds. And essentially, the mentality and the activity is the same. What is the advancement? The hogs, they are eating the garbage in the street. The dog is running on four legs. We're running on four wheels. The bird is flying with wings, and we just make a big machine with wings. Is there any advancement in mentality? So this is the unfortunate situation in this age of Kali. In previous times, people were considered civilized and making real progress in life according to the spirituality that they were developing. Their knowledge, their detachment, their spiritual values, their morality, and how much they were fixing their minds and senses in the loving service of the Lord. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suratam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richchati, that if we want to attain real peace, we must understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, and he is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. In other words, everything is meant to be utilized in his service. And to have faith that he is our friend. Such a person can achieve peace who understands these principles. But today, people want to accumulate more and more and more. And one who accumulates a lot is considered a great hero, an idol, practically a worshipable deity in this age of Kali. People are no longer considered great by their simplicity, their honesty, their detachment, and their devotion. But people are considered great by the majority of people by how much money they make, by how good they sing. While driving in the car here, one of our dear devotees was telling that there's some sort of a poll in the computer systems of who the greatest person of the century is. No, not the century, the millennium. This shows the mentality of people. He told me in the running, the top person now was a person who was singing nothing but songs about sex life. And the older generation considered him completely obscene. The first television show he was ever on, they didn't put the camera below his waist because of the obscene gestures that he made. Hare Krishna. And he made lots of money, and women would scream and faint when they would see him and cry and become hysterical. Then he lost some of his fame, and he became a drug addict, and he was so depressed, he became addicted to sedatives and sleeping pills. And when his wife cheated on him, he went and chased after her in his car and was shooting at her with guns, and went into her house and shot her television and threatened to kill her. He was put in jail several times. And eventually, he was just so depressed, so miserable, so addicted to these sedatives and drugs that he died due to overdose and addiction. And the world considers him to be the man of the millennium. And I believe in the top 15 also is Hitler. He mercilessly killed millions and millions and millions of people, innocent men, women, and children. Bhagavatam explains that men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they idolize and worship people who are like bigger dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Srila Prabhupada explained that there are different types of thieves. One is the simple thief who's pickpocket. Prabhupada said traditionally he's called Kshira. Kshira means cucumber. Somebody who just steals cucumbers. Not a very big thief. Sometimes you see they steal some fruit from the marketplace, or they pickpocket you in the trains. If they get arrested and caught, they are punished. And there's other thieves called Hira, means diamond, Prabhupada says. They steal diamonds. Now, whether you're Hira or Kshira, you're a thief. But today there's thieves who are not just illiterate people from the ghettos who pick some pockets or break in your house and rob you. But there are thieves who have PhDs, who are actually scientists, who learn how to, by computer manipulation, rob banks of tens of millions of dollars. Hare Krishna. You have heard of these people? There's very, very scientific geniuses, some of the most brilliant minds in the world, that use it to rob banks. So someone may say, I only stole an apple. Are you going to punish me? This man robbed the bank of tens and millions of dollars. But the law will say, you have stolen, you got caught, you must be punished. Big thief or little thief, you're a thief, you must be punished. And the big man, he will say that I robbed the bank of $10 million through computer genius. This is advancement in civilization. You should award me. You should not punish me. This is happening, literally. And it's very symbolic. This is what is considered advancement in civilization. More technically advanced scientific means of stealing from Krishna. Of cheating the innocent people of the world. That is considered advancement of civilization. But in Krishna consciousness, we understand through Bhagavad Gita and other great Vedic literatures, Duryodhana was a very advanced personality, but he is condemned. Because he did not develop the qualities of virtue, morality, knowledge, detachment, and devotion. We see that the world, in the name of prosperity, is gliding down toward hellish conditions. Due to the prominence of sinful activities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, Shukadev Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikshit a description of the hellish planets. When Maharaj Parikshit heard this at the beginning of 6th canto, he was very much interested to know how a person who has committed sinful activities could escape the reactions of having to suffer the karmic consequences. So Sukadeva Goswami, his spiritual master, wanted to test him. He told him that for every type of sinful activity, there is a particular atonement that one must perform to free one of the reactions of that sin. And if you do not atone in this life, then after death, you will have to suffer hellish consequences. Therefore, a sane person will atone for his sins in this very life. For heavy sins, there's heavy atonement. For light sins, there's light atonement. And the Vedic scriptures explain the various types of atonements. Maharaj Parikshit, he said that this does not satisfy me. Because as long as the seed for material enjoyment remains within the heart, then the modes of material nature will force you once again to engage in sinful activities even after we have performed the proper atonement. It seems to me like the philosophy of the elephant who takes bath and gets himself nice and clean, but as soon as he comes back on the land with his trunk, he covers himself with dirt once again. Then he bathes and covers himself with dirt. No progress. So Sukadev Goswami continued to test Maharaj Parikshit. Said, what you're saying is true. Atonement does not free one of suffering. It frees one from the reaction of a particular deed, but as long as that influence of sinful desire is in the heart, you will be forced to do it again. Birth after birth after birth. So he explained that we should cultivate knowledge and discriminate between what is good and what is evil. Maharaj Parikshit said, you can discriminate. You can use your good intelligence to study the Shastras through Jnana. But if that desire remains in your heart, your lower instincts will take over your intelligence. So Maharaj Parikshit rejected the process of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. He wanted to know, what is the solution for suffering? Sukadev Goswami was very pleased. And he explained that devotional service, or bhakti, when it is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, that devotional service cleans the heart of all tendencies for sinful activities. Through the process of constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, in the association of the Lord, one can experience the mercy of Krishna. And one can attain the highest perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. Then he explained a story to illustrate this truth. In a village called Kanyakubja, there was a Brahmin whose name was Ajamil. His parents were very, very pious, learned Brahmins. They raised him in a very sattvic environment. He was pious, moral, truthful, humble, learned in the scriptures. When he was young, he was following Brahmacharya. Later on, he was married to a very respectable and beautiful daughter of a Brahmin. One day, his father asked him to go to the forest to bring him some paraphernalia for performing yajna. As he was coming back home, he happened to see a very low-class man associating with a low-class woman. This low-class man was decorated with turmeric, and he was embracing and kissing this prostitute. As they were enjoying these sensual activities, they were both singing and dancing. completely intoxicated, enjoying each other's bodies. While this was happening, the woman's dress was loosening, and Ajaneel happened to see this. His mind became so terribly disturbed. He began to pray to the Lord to help him. He tried to fix his mind on what he has learned about detachment from the Holy Scriptures. But somehow or other, the thought of this prostitute plagued him. He was a victim of Cupid, the most powerful force of material energy. In order to fulfill his lower desires, he hired this woman to be a servant in his house. And in her association, being so victimized by her lustful glances, Ajaneel put all of his tension, all of his money, all of his life in the dedication to satisfying this woman so that she would allow him to enjoy with her. He left his home, he left his wife, he left his parents. Because her desires were so sinful, he had to become sinful to satisfy her. He had 10 children through her to support her material desires, his material desires, and the children. He had to gamble, cheat, steal, plunder, lie, and do every kind of sinful activity. When he was 88 years old, he was still plundering, cheating, gambling, lying, and having sex life. Now we know from the Vedic scriptures that when a man turns 50 years old, he's supposed to be vanaprastha. There should be no more sex life. Children should be grown up by that time. And one retires and dedicates his life with his wife exclusively to spiritual affairs. But this Ajaneel, when he was 88 years old, he was still having children. His youngest son was named Narayana. Ajaneel was very much attached to Narayana. He would call him Narayana to eat. He would call him Narayana to play. He would call him Narayana to wake him up. Because of his previous devotional service when he was young, the Supreme Lord never forgot that service. Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatopayat. That any progress we make in the endeavor of bhakti is never lost, it is eternal. So we may forget Krishna, but Krishna, who is within our heart, will never ever forget anything that we have ever sincerely done to please him. The Lord knows past, present, and future. So from within his heart, he arranged that he name his youngest son Narayana, knowing that when he would die, his greatest attachment to life would be to that son. He was laying on his deathbed, And that fateful moment that will inevitably come to each and every one of us came before him. Time of death. Antakali chamame vasvaran makvakale varam. Krishna says, whatever you remember at the time of death, that you will attain without fail. If you remember me, you will attain me. As he was in the process of dying, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death for those who are sinful, sent his Yamadutas to collect him and bring him to the hellish planets to suffer. Raja Neel saw Yamadutas. They were horribly violent-looking creatures. Fierce, twisted faces, deformed, very strong. They had ropes and various weapons in their hands. They tied his subtle body, which was covering his soul, and started ripping him right out from the heart of his body. As he was being ripped out by these terrible men with gnashing teeth looking at him with anger, he was so much fearful. Meanwhile, his little baby son Narayan was nearby playing. So he cried out helplessly with a loud voice, Narayana, Narayana. At that very moment, four beautiful personalities appeared. The Vishnu Dutas, the servants of Lord Vishnu. They came from Vaikuntha with weapons in their four arms, each one looking practically identical to Lord Vishnu himself. They said to the Yamaduta saw them. Vishnu Duta said, you cannot take him. They cut the ropes with their swords. The Yamadutas were very shocked. Who are you? With your beautiful lotus eyes, bluish complexion, golden crowns, and wonderful ornaments. Please tell us who you are. You appear to be residents of the spiritual world. Can you tell us what is your identity and why you have come here? The Vishnu Dutas replied by identifying themselves as the messengers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They said, we understand what are the principles of Dharma. And this is not right. We cannot believe what we are seeing. We are seeing you trying to punish a man who is completely sinless. You are the representatives of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is supposed to be a great leader of society. How is it that he and you are punishing a faultless man? What a leader does, the common men will follow. If a person helplessly lays his head on the lap of a person he's taking shelter of, and then that person cuts off his head, that is not leadership. The whole society will be ruined. The Yamadutas were bewildered by hearing this. They said, this man, actually Vishnu Dutas asked them, you tell us, what is the definition of Dharma? What is a Dharma? Yamadutas has explained that we have learned from our master Yamaraj that Dharma is to follow the principles that are in it, that are explained by the Lord in the holy scriptures. And negligence of the rules of the scriptures is called adharma. If one performs his dharma properly, one will be rewarded and attain happiness. If a person performs sinful activities, then he must suffer. There is no escape. And then there is the mixture. Some people do some dharma and some adharma. They will find some happiness and some suffering in their life. One who follows the essence of the scriptures in this life will attain the spiritual world and go back to the abode of Lord Vishnu. But those who engage in materialistic karmic activities and perform sins, they come before our master Yamaraj, where they are punished. We will tell you about this Ajamiya. He was a very well-behaved son of a Brahmin, always charitable, respectable to his superiors, submissive to his spiritual master, free of false prestige, always eager to serve, very learned in the scriptures, eager to perform sacrifices. However, due to association with a low-class woman, he became a plunderer and a thief. He broke the heart of his chaste, faithful wife by rejecting her. His parents were old and helpless. It was his duty to help them. He took all their money, all their property, and left them. This man committed so many illicit activities in his life. He caused so much pain to his family members, to the people in general. He is a great, great sinner. And from his youth to his old age, he did nothing but sin. He lived a life of selfishness and sense enjoyment. We have record of these sins. Yamaraj has sent us to bring him to his abode, where he will be punished in hellish tortures. The Vishnudutas replied, "What you say is wrong, because in his life he spoke the name of his son, Narayana. And at the time of death, he helplessly and loudly called out the name Narayana without offense. He did not chant purely, but because he had no material motives, in the sense that he was not trying to artificially sin and then erase the sins by chanting the holy names. He was simply crying out the name of his son. So it was practically offenseless chanting. And one who once chants the name offenselessly is freed of all sins in this life and all sins in all previous lives. Therefore, this man is without sin. He is a liberated soul. and it will be a great offense for you to try to cause harm to him. One who pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting his names, his attributes, his qualities, and his pastimes is always protected by the Lord. The Yamadutas were helpless and confused. They went back to the abode of Yamaraj. Meanwhile, Ajamil, seeing this discussion, realized what a foolish rascal he had been. Just by those few moments association with the Vishnu Dutas, his life was transformed. This is a very important principle. Association is so important in every moment of our spiritual life. Whoever we may be, however advanced we may think we are, through bad association, we could lose all of our good qualities. And however sinful we are, through good association, we could be saved. The purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is simply to provide association of the Lord and his devotees. We associate with the Lord by associating with his devotees, by associating with Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, by coming to wonderful satsang programs like this evening, by engaging our mind and senses in his service. There are so many alternatives that we have in this age of Kali. There may be at the most 1,000 people here tonight, but how many are watching television tonight? How many tens or hundreds of millions? How many are going to cinemas and clubs? Srila Prabhupada was shocked. He would tell us often, he was in Paris, a man 80 years old was going into these clubs just for such obscene purposes that we cannot even mention to such a distinguished audience as tonight. That age. And still, puna punas charavata charavananam, just chewing that which he's already chewed and chewed and chewed. You can never get enough. You never outgrow the desire for sinful desires. Unless we replace that materialistic association with Krishna consciousness. Birth after birth after birth, we continue in this process of trying to chew what we have already chewed. Ajamil, by the association of these great souls, he understood that he had wasted his life. The quality of a real devotee is that devotee repents and feels ashamed for the materialistic and sinful things that he has done or she has done in the past. And that shame always keeps one in a humble position.
The tendency is we become a little spiritually advanced and we think we're very great. But when we remember what we were, what we did, and how only causeless mercy has saved us, it keeps us humble. Ajimiyo went to the Vishnu Dutas and offered his prostrated obeisances, but the Vishnu Dutas immediately disappeared because they wanted to invoke in his heart a feeling of shame and separation. He condemned himself. How I misused my chaste, faithful wife. I destroyed her life. How I neglected my loving parents who gave me the best of everything in this world. I tortured them. And how I engaged in so much intoxication, so much illicit sex. How I cheated like a thief so many innocent people. Countless sinful activities I performed. How shameful, how ignorant, what a fool I am. But somehow when I was young, I engaged in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. And the Lord is so merciful that he never forgot that. And by his kindness, he was the one who arranged for me to name my son Narayan and chant his name when I was about to die. Ajamil then cut all his relations with his children, with the prostitute, and went to Gangadwaram, Haridwar, where the Ganges is coming to the plains from the Himalayas. There, he went to a temple of Lord Vishnu and engaged in devotional service. Knowing intensely the dangers of this world and the shame of wasting this human form of life, he absorbed his consciousness day and night in remembering Krishna and serving the Lord by worshiping the deity, by hearing his glories, by chanting his holy names. By hearing the Vishnu Dutas, glorification of the holy name, he understood that that was his only shelter. He heard the Vishnu Dutas exclaim that even chanting the holy name in jest, unintentionally, without proper awareness, if it is done offenselessly, the name of God is so powerful that it attracts the mercy of the Lord to purify us and bring us to the state of ultimate liberation. So Ajamil spent the rest of his life chanting the holy names. And through this process, when he was completely purified, those same four personalities appeared before him and guided him onto a golden airplane where they brought him back to Vaikuntha. When he boarded the golden airplane, he assumed his original spiritual form, Sachit Ananda. And full of ecstatic love of God, that pure soul returned back home, back to Godhead. Meanwhile, the Yamadutas, they approached Yamaraj. Please tell us, how many supreme controllers are there in this universe? We have always understood that you are the supreme master. And when you give us an order, no one can disobey. If there's two supreme masters, then what will happen? If there's difference of opinion, then one will come to punish, one will come to nullify, and there will be neither reward or punishment. Or there will be both reward and punishment for the same thing. Our whole universe will be chaotic. It cannot function unless there is one supreme authority. We always conceive you to be that supreme authority. How is it that any power was there to stop your order from being fulfilled? The Yamadutas were so depressed, so confused, they were on the verge of suicide. Yamaraj then explained, I am not the supreme controller, nor is Brahma, nor is Shiva, nor is Varuna, nor is Chandra, nor is any of the devatas. Vishnu is the supreme lord of all living beings. Whatever power, whatever authority we have is given by him only. He is our master. He is the controller of material nature. He is the controller of the three modes of material nature. And all the devatas are only functioning by the power given by him. He is all beautiful. He is all merciful. He is all powerful. And he has impregnated all of his opulences in his name. And those devotees who chant his holy names are always protected by him. Ajamil chanted the name of the Lord. Therefore, he was delivered. Yamaraj told the Yamadutas that you bring to me only those people who have never chanted the holy name of the Lord sincerely. Bring to me those people who have never bowed their heads to the deity of the Lord. Bring to me only those people who have never served the Lord or his devotees. But those who chant the holy names, do not even look at them, because the Lord carries a great club to protect his devotees. And if you even glance in the direction of the Lord's devotees, the Lord will destroy you. Yamaraj began to glorify the transcendental process of the chanting of the holy names. And then he began to pray to the Lord with folded palms that, O Lord Vishnu, please forgive me and my servants because we have offended your devotee Ajamil, not knowing his glory. It is important to understand that if one has authority over others, if that person or those persons engage in irresponsible or sinful activity, then the leader is also karmically responsible. So Yamaraj prayed to Lord Vishnu for forgiveness because he understood the power of the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatirangata. The story of Ajamil took place in a previous yuga. The holy name of the Lord is always all-powerful. However, in this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way. Therefore, the Supreme Lord descends in this age of Kali as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us this simple and sublime process. So people are celebrating the new year, the new millennium. But those who know understands that we're one millennium deeper into the age of Kali. Kali Yuga progressively gets worse and worse and worse in ignorance and illusion. And the evidence of that, obviously, is how are people going to be celebrating the progress of Kali Yuga? Most people in the world are going to be taking intoxications, eating forbidden foods, wasting their lives by just bombarding their senses with sensationalistic type of sense gratification in the modes of passion and ignorance. In fact, most countries, every year, just any new year, what to speak of millennium new years, any new year, very high crime rate, death rate, auto accidents, muggings, killings, rapings. This is how people celebrate. But for those of you who are interested, we're going to be having satsang and kirtan all night long at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, in order to counteract the effects of the progress of Kali Yuga. So we are interested, as every day passes in our life, of knowing for certain that we are progressing toward the goal of life. We don't want to be bewildered or confused by the sensationalistic propaganda of what advancement of civilization is. It doesn't mean taking off your dhoti and wearing a suit and tie. It doesn't mean taking off your sari and wearing short skirt with nylon socks. It doesn't mean giving up your bullock and driving a very fashionable computerized motor car. It doesn't mean throwing all your books in your library art and putting it on computer discs It doesn't mean giving up your postage stamps and doing everything by emails. This is not advancement of civilization. It's degradation of civilization. Because the content or the substance of what's being discussed and what's filling people's minds is simply material illusion. Real advancement in civilization is sitting down with your little Tulsi Japa beads and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Whether you're chanting under a tree or on a riverbank, or whether you're chanting in your motorized car, or whether you're chanting in a jet airplane, or whether you're chanting in a skyscraper building, the externals are simply not important. What's important is the substance of our consciousness. The clouds rumble and lightning. If no rain comes, it's useless. But if rain comes, it's beneficial. So we're all living in this city of Bombay. It's a place where we cannot avoid all of the phantasmagoria of Maya's illusions. But we should never mistake that because we have some more money or we have some more of Maya's toys to play with, that we're making advancement. Whether we have it or don't have it is really irrelevant. What is important is what is our consciousness. Ajamil, he thought he had everything. He had 10 children. He had lots of wealth. He had a wife who he was completely intoxicated by. But the content of his consciousness, the substance of his life, was simply degraded by the modes of nature. This is a beautiful garden, and tonight it has become Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, because the content of the consciousness of the people here have come to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And that is the sublime process by which we could all achieve the real destination of life. So as the new year approaches, the new millennium approaches, we should be very, very much aware that Kali Yuga is progressing in a major way. So we must progress in a major way by practicing the Yuga Dharma wholeheartedly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Now we will have kirtan, but would you like to sing? As I am chanting, everyone with folded palms, welcome Krishna, who is incarnated in his name, into your heart. And as you are chanting, please raise your arms very high, like Ajamil at the time of death, helplessly crying out,
for the mercy of the Lord who has descended so kindly within his name.